Well, you know, in my where I come from, ethanol is not a four-letter word. It's some, however many letters it is. Because I think, you know, I think ethanol gets somewhat of a bad rap. And I, you know, obviously you're going to say, well, he comes from Iowa, comes from the Midwest. You know, what is he supposed to say? He's expected to say that. But I'm going to make the case. I mean, you see what you think. First of all, for far too long, our crop producers were receiving far below what they needed to have a decent living. And so the opportunity to, as they increase productivity, to find out creative ways to use the productivity became important. At the same time, the country was concerned about its over-reliance on foreign oil. So the thought was, can we do something with our agricultural production that goes beyond food and feed and fiber and adds to it fuel? How could we do that? Well, corn was probably the simplest and quickest way and the most efficient way to start that to conversation because of the science. So we started an ethanol industry. First of all, it has provided an opportunity, as corn production has increased dramatically, 300% in my lifetime, it has provided an opportunity so that we don't necessarily have extraordinarily low prices that make it far, far more difficult for smaller producers to stay in business. Secondly, it gave producers the ability not only to profit from production but also processing, because many of these ethanol production facilities were cooperatively owned by farmers. So it gave them another income opportunity. Third, it was a job creator in a part of the country where we had been losing a lot of our young people because there simply were not the jobs. So now today, nearly 400,000 people are directly or indirectly connected and employed in that industry. We began to produce this, and we found that there were some environmental benefits. As you know, in California, you had water issues with MPDE, and ethanol basically resolved those water issues, didn't create the challenge to water quality as a additive. And then we found that it actually began to reduce the cost of gas. Several studies. You can pick one that's the most conservative, or you can pick the one that I like. The one that's conservative says, at a minimum, we're spending 25 cents a gallon less for our gas than we would otherwise be spending because we have a biofuel industry. The one I like says it could be as high as $1.37 a gallon. So there's savings to the consumer. Reducing our reliance on foreign oil. Last 3 years, as we've increased biofuel production, we also have seen a decline in foreign oil use from 62% of our oil being imported to 45%. So we become a more energy secure country as a result, less reliant on foreign oil. So those are the benefits: jobs, higher incomes, lower gas costs, environmental benefits, and reduction of our reliance on foreign oil. Now, folks say, well, it's taking food away from us. It's taking feed away from us. The problem with that notion is the percentage of corn that is currently being used for feed or for exports is essentially the same as it has been. And the reason it's the same is because we've increased productivity, and we've just taken that excess and applied it to fuel production. Now, it's not just fuel that's produced. So we hear a lot of people say, well, I've got 40% of the corn crop is being used for fuel production. Well, it's not really 40%, because a third of it comes back in DDGs, dry distiller's grain, which is used by the livestock industry as a feed supplement and additive, and some would argue allows less feed to be used as a result. So it's less than 40%. It's more like 27%. All right, so all of those benefits have to be taken into consideration. Now, the industry comes and says, we really shouldn't have to rely on corn, and we agree. So we're moving away from our reliance on corn by identifying alternative feedstocks that don't necessarily compete with feed or food needs. So we have financed recently at USDA 9 separate biorefineries, bioprocessing facilities that use corn stover, that use algae, use switchgrass, woody biomass, agricultural waste, municipal waste. And we're going to use those facilities to learn how more efficiently to produce. Well, one's in Florida, one's in Mississippi, there are two in Iowa. There's one in Oregon. There's one in New Mexico, just off the top of my head. In addition, we're paying farmers to produce miscanthus and camelina and other alternative feedstocks through the BCAP program to encourage farmers to begin transitioning some of their non-productive land to a more productive use. At the same time we're doing this, the Navy comes along and says, you know, we are really concerned about our over-reliance on oil, and particularly foreign oil, to fuel our jets and our ships. And given the nature of what's happening in the world today, where we have to have a military that's extraordinarily flexible, that can move on a dime, that can move quickly because of a terrorist situation, we really do not want to have to be reliant on a source of oil that could be compromised in a moment's notice. So they come to us and say, can you help us, USDA and Department of Energy, develop a drop-in aviation fuel that does not compete with food, that uses non-food feedstocks? So we've put together $500 million, and we're going to help build 3 or 4 facilities that use, again, non-food feedstocks to produce a drop-in aviation fuel and marine fuel. The Navy will buy it. USDA will buy down the cost of the feedstock so it's competitive. The commercial aviation industry is really interested in this because they're facing emissions issues in Europe, which they cannot meet with the current jet fuel mixture. So they will use this biofuel. So we have a farm to fly initiative, because Honeywell, Boeing, United Airlines, and others are very interested in this. So it creates, well, it's I don't know if it's called any. It's a opportunity for the Navy to essentially meet 50% of its fuel needs through biofuel. And the Air Force is doing something similar. The Army is doing something similar. For the benefit of the press here, best press conference I ever had, Mr. Secretary, was with the Secretary of the Navy, and we were announcing this. We had a tank in the back, and the media was here, and the tank turret would just go back and forth. Very intimidating. So you see, this industry is creating innovation. And then from that, there are a series of co-products and byproducts that are going to be created that fuel this bio-based economy. So in Wisconsin, just right here in Madison, you've got a company taking corn cobs and reformulating the molecules from corn cobs and turning it into plastic bottles that Coca-Cola is interested in using to build 10 billion bottles a year to, you know, and it's 100% renewable, 100% recyclable, and 100% plant-based. So this is the exciting thing I was talking about. This is an extraordinary new opportunity here. So rather than being critical of it, let's give it enough time to move away from this debate, which I think in some cases is somewhat misleading because not all the facts are known, and move to a situation where we're doing all of these great things, helping to promote the rural economy. Now, last thing I would say is EPA's got a request before it to change the renewable fuel standard. There are two problems with the request. One is economists will say that it will do very little to change the price of corn. The theory is, well, if we get away with the renewable fuel standard, somehow the price of corn will come substantially down and it will be a lot less expensive to feed livestock. The problem is that's not the case because corn is now sort of a global issue here. And that corn price is likely to stay relatively high. Some have estimated if the waiver is granted that it might impact and affect corn prices by a quarter, 25 cents. I don't think that's going to make a lot of difference in the scheme of things. Secondly, and probably as importantly, or maybe more importantly, the petroleum industry says, you know what, even if you do away with the renewable fuel standard, we're still going to use this ethanol because we like the octane it provides, and it's a good additive. So it's not necessarily going to reduce the production of ethanol. The key here, from my perspective, in terms of helping people in the short term, is having the Congress do its work, pass a food, farm, and jobs bill so we can provide cash assistance to these producers who are strapped and let them ride through this difficult time. But that's one man's opinion.